spend about a half hour looking at a proverb. And so here's what I was thinking back in 1981 when I graduated from Grand Rapids Seminary. And you're going into ministry, sometimes you begin to think, well, you know, I wonder what this ministry will be like, and you know, what God has planned for me. You know, I wonder if you know, maybe at some point in time, you know, a TV ministry, or maybe at some point in time, maybe we'll have a radio ministry. And so I started to think about it. Well, it took a global pandemic to do it, but so we've been on YouTube channel and broadcasting our services, and you know, every now and then, just to impress my some of our grandkids, our oldest two that are with us a lot, I'll say, "Hey, you want to see Papa on YouTube?" And I pull it up. They're not impressed, but it does help with the count of the views. You know, if I show it to the grandkids. So so here we are, you know, using that technology. And then I never thought we'd have a radio ministry, but here we are today, and we're on the radio. And of course, the signal only reaches 300 feet, but that's okay. That's okay. There you go. I got an amen on that. Yeah, double amen. All right. Hey, we're going to look at wisdom. The seven pillars of wisdom is really our title for today. And so you can just listen or just follow along. If you want to try to follow along in the scriptures, that's fine. If not, I will be reading a lot of verses. I've really targeted this message to our graduates, but it's really applicable to all of us. And so the key verse is Proverbs 9:1. Here's what Proverbs 9:1 says. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. So Solomon writes, wisdom has built her house, and she has set up seven pillars. So I read that and I started to think, okay, let's think about some pillars of wisdom. And so I began to go through the book of Proverbs and pick out pillars of wisdom. And there are many, but I stuck with seven. And so we're going to be in Proverbs. It's interesting that there's a whole section of scripture that's called wisdom literature. And I think for us it's important to understand in Scripture the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You know, we live in the information age, and we live with you know, the World Wide Web, and the incredible amount of information that is on the web, the super information highway, we call it. But there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And the scriptures, and especially the passages that we're going to look at this morning, have an emphasis on wisdom. I would define wisdom as applying God's truth and principles to everyday life. So wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth, God's principles, to everyday life. Not just to know God's truth, but also to obey it. In fact, a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount with a story. And perhaps you're familiar with that story. He compares two individuals, two men. They both heard the words of Jesus. They both heard the same thing. They both faced the storms of life. And Jesus says, you know, the rain came down and the wind blew. And as we know and think about our graduates, there will be storms of life. We all face storms of life. The key difference between what the Bible calls the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and they had two different results when the storms came. The wise man's house stood, the foolish man's house fell. What was the difference between the two? And the difference between the two, and I'll read it here. The wise man who built his house on the rock, the storm came, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock, because he not only heard Jesus' words, but he put them into practice. He applied them. The foolish man heard Jesus' words and he didn't put them into practice. He had knowledge, but not wisdom. And so knowledge is the ability to put God's truth and apply it to everyday life. It's what James tells us in James 1:22. Do not simply be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And so that's where wisdom comes in. And before we get to the seven pillars, there's really a couple of options here. Oftentimes we hear the phrase when we're raising our kids, we say, well, they're just going to have to live and learn. I'm sure you've heard that phrase about somebody. They're just going to have to live and learn. And they're going to have to go through the school of hard knocks. And that's the way some people live their lives. They live their lives because they've made mistakes and they make failures. But I want to tell you, that can be a very costly way to live and learn. And it can be a very painful way to live and learn. The scriptures tell us there's a better way than living and learning, and that is to learn and live. And that's the emphasis of Proverbs and the wisdom literature, is to give wisdom to all of us so that we can live a life that avoids pain and difficulty in our lives. So we're going to very quickly, and I'm going to plow through this very quickly, think about seven pillars of wisdom. And I really had a hard time just stopping at seven, because if you read the book of Proverbs, which I would encourage you to do, it's a great great book just to read a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and kind of aligns with the number of days in a month. And there is so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. So let's think about seven pillars of wisdom, and they all begin with the letter S. And the first pillar of wisdom is the pillar of salvation. The pillar of salvation, that's really where biblical wisdom starts. Wisdom starts with the acknowledgement that God exists. Psalm 14:1, the psalmist says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Basically, the scriptures call the person that is an atheist foolish. And Romans chapter 1 tells us that we see evidence of God's creation all around us, that people are without excuse. I mean, all they have to do is kind of look beyond me and look at the beauty of God's creation and realize that this did not all happen by accident, that there is a creator, and he has a purpose for our lives. So the first step of wisdom is to accept Jesus as Savior, and that is the most important decision that any person will ever make. It determines your eternal destiny. The scriptures talk about that there's two roads. Many are on the broad road, and it leads to destruction. There's a few people that are on the narrow road, and it leads to eternal life. And of course, we know that the key to that is Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And as we personally repent of our sin and accept him as Savior, we're born again. When Paul wrote to Timothy, his son in the faith, and it's the last letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy, he talks about Timothy, from an infant you've known the Holy Scriptures. And I looked up that word. The word infant is the Greek word brephos. It means from a baby. Timothy, from the time you were born, somebody taught you the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And we know in Timothy's life, as you read the 1st and 2nd Timothy, we know who those people were. That it was a grandmother by the name of Lois, and a mom, Timothy's mom's name was Eunice, and they were the ones that built into Timothy's life so he would come to know Christ and be wise unto salvation. And so thank God for godly parents. Thank God for the influence that, grandparents can be into the lives of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I would encourage you to, if you have kids and grandkids, and I'm not telling you anything new, boy, do they ever need our prayers all the time. You know, as a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent, that's an obligation that we will take to our grave, I hope, is praying on a regular daily basis for our kids and our grandkids. And so the first pillar of wisdom is really the pillar of salvation. The best decision you can make in life is to receive Jesus as Savior. The second pillar of wisdom, I call it the pillar of silence. I know that sounds a little unusual, but when I say the pillar of silence, I'm referring to the Scripture's emphasis on the discipline of listening, on the discipline of listening. And that's a principle that's all through the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so James, in that very practical book, tells us, hey, we need to be quick to listen, eager to listen. We need to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. And what's ironic about that is our natural human tendency is to do just the opposite. You know, we're slow to listen, most of us, and just our human nature. We're quick to speak, and we're quick to be angry sometimes. And James says we need to be just the opposite. Well, when you begin to read through the book of Proverbs, boy, that is the emphasis of especially the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs, because the first nine chapters are written like a father is writing to a son. And so the first step to wisdom in the book of Proverbs is to listen. Let me just share a couple of verses here. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Proverbs 4:1-2, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning. Do not forsake my teaching. Proverbs 5:1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight. And so all through the Bible and all through the book of Proverbs is an emphasis on what? On the discipline of listening. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought to be wise if they keep silent. And so the discipline of listening is all through Scripture. The book of Revelation, when the Apostle John writes seven letters to the seven churches there in Revelation, and there's this phrase that is in every one of those seven letters, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the Apostle John is saying that we need to listen. Well, who do we need to listen to? Well, again, the Scriptures address that. We need to, first of all, listen to God. And God speaks to us through His Word. And so we need to be in God's Word and listening to God's Word and to God's voice. Listening will help us in our relationships. And in Scripture, in Ephesians 6, children need to what? Listen and obey their parents. And wise is the son or daughter that listens to mom and dad. certainly in our marriage relationship, listening is key, isn't it? And Diane is sitting in the entryway there because she's going to fix some punch for us a little bit. So I'm glad she's not at her car because she would amen this on the horns. Like, how many times in our marriage she told me, I think you heard what I said, but I don't think you're really listening. And she's right a lot of times. You know, it's so easy to sometimes not really listen. And if you have some people in your life who will listen to you, if you have some friends and family members who will listen to you, you are blessed. And so listening is key. It's how we learn. It's how we understand where other people are coming from. And if there's ever a time in our nation, in our country, with what we're going through now, I'd say, you know what? There's too many people talking and not enough people listening to understand. You know, there's too much social media stuff. There's too much news media stuff. And everybody wants to get their view and their point across. And everybody thinks they're right. And we live in a tremendously divided nation. And we've got a presidential election coming up that unfortunately is going to probably, you know, maybe keep us divided. But boy, we need to listen, and we need to listen with an ear to understanding. That will help us in the employment world as well, in the marketplace. Both employees and employers, what need to be good listeners and to listen with understanding. Well, the third pillar of wisdom is the pillar of safety. So the pillar of salvation, the pillar of silence, the pillar of safety. Just as we have laws and rules in our country, nation, that will keep us safe. There's a reason why we have speed limits. There's a reason why we have stop signs. There's a reason why we have stoplights and laws. And a lot of the reason behind those things are so for our own safety. That's true in Scripture as well, that we need to understand that the principles of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, is there to for our protection. And God's rules and regulations are not because He's some killjoy God who doesn't want us to have any fun. No, He has those in there to provide for us and to protect us and say this is the best way to go. And so James calls the Scriptures the perfect law of liberty. You know, you think of laws, you think of restrictions and things you can't do. And James says God's principles and rules, when we follow them, give us what? Freedom. The perfect law of liberty. So the pillar of safety, and Solomon writes about it in Proverbs chapter 2. Let me just read some verses there. Verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways. Verse 16, wisdom will also save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who's left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, her paths to the spirits of the dead. And so all through Proverbs, Solomon says, here's some principles, and guess what? They're in there to keep you safe. And when you follow these laws and rules and principles, they will save you, verse 12, first of all, from the wicked men. And they will save you from the wayward woman, they'll save you from adultery. And how many lives and families and homes have been broken up because of adultery in our marriages. And so Proverbs, the pillar of wisdom, will keep us safe. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord stands for His character and who He is and His word. And it encourages us to run to God, and we will find safety. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. And so the third pillar is the pillar of safety. Pillar number four, and we'll turn the corner here and head for home here. Pillar number four is the pillar of submission. The pillar of submission. If there's two verses in all the book of Proverbs that most people know, most familiar ones, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, acknowledge God, and the promises, and He will direct your paths, or He will make your way straight. That's how I memorized that verse years ago, growing up in a pastor's home. But I noticed when I read it again, and I'm sure I've seen this before, and I read it in the NIV translation. The NIV has a little different translation of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it kind of jumped out at me when I read it this week. And here it is. This is from the NIV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, the NIV says, and He will make your path straight. I don't know if I've ever really noticed that difference before, but the NIV chose to translate that Hebrew word submit. In all your ways, submit to God. And so the fourth pillar of wisdom is the pillar of submission. And all through the scriptures, again, this is a theme that says we need to submit. And who do we need to submit to? Well, first of all, we need to submit to God. And there is probably the number one issue and problem in our country. Because we're living in the day of the end of the book of Judges, that that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's where our culture is today, because people don't believe in absolute truth. And so you can have your truth, and I'll have my truth, and don't you dare infringe your truth on me. So we need to submit to God and His truth, and then we need to submit to our government. Romans 13:1, submit yourselves to the governing authorities because they're placed there by God. Well, that's a verse we need today, isn't it? We need to submit to the government. And that's why with, you know, the whole COVID-19, rules and regulations, just as I looked at it and as it affects our church, I tried to follow what the government was telling us to do. And so I relied heavily on, what's the CDC saying? What is our governor saying? And the scripture says we're to submit. And so we need to submit to our government. We need to submit to our employers. We need children. We need to submit to our parents, and on it goes. Wise is the person that learns to submit. And of course, that's a key principle in marriage too, isn't it? Sometimes in that passage in Ephesians that talks about the wife's responsibility and the husband's responsibility. Ephesians says, wives, submit to your husbands. But in verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so there is I believe in marriage, there's a mutual submission. Ultimately, I think God has placed the husband in a position of headship. But marriage works best when there's mutual submission. That's why in our household we have two TVs in our house, and Diane watches the upstairs TV and I watch the downstairs TV because she likes the movies and I like the sports, and we just decided would just submit to one another, and now we're both happy, you know. So I guess that's compromise, too, as well as submission. But, hey, the principle of submission is a principle of wisdom. Three more here, and we'll just touch briefly on these because we're rushing toward the 11 o'clock hour here. We want to be done. Pillar number five, the pillar of sharing the gospel. The pillar of sharing the gospel. Proverbs 10:30, the last part says, "He that wins souls is wise." He that wins souls is wise. And I love the summary of the gospel in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. The Apostle Paul writes, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And now here's the gospel. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so there's the good news, that God took our sin and put it on his son Jesus, who had no sin, so that when he died on the cross, the righteousness of Christ could be imputed into our account and credited to us. And when we accept Christ as Savior, we're justified, and God sees us our legal standing before God just as if we've never sinned. Because the righteousness of Christ has been given to us when we receive the gospel. So wise is the person that shares the gospel. And wherever God has placed you, in the marketplace or in the home or in the neighborhood, one of the reasons he has you where he has you is so that you can be a light, and you can be a person that shares the good news of salvation with other people. Two more. The pillar number six is the pillar of selecting friends wisely. The pillar of selecting friends wisely. Boy, our friends are important to us. And especially the right kind of friends. And why is that? It's because we're influenced by our friends. We're influenced by the people that we spend time with. That's why, especially during the teen years, the right kinds of friends are so vitally important, because statistics tell us that peer pressure becomes the number one influence in a teen's life. So what's in surveys, what's the number one influence on a young person? It's their friends. And so, therefore, we better select the right kind of friends. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And so Solomon's talking about having the right kind of friends. Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous choose their friends carefully." The righteous choose their friends carefully. And so pillar number six is the wisdom of selecting friends wisely. And really, that's one of the benefits of being part of a local church family, because that's a great place to discover some friends that will be true friends. And Hebrews 12 talks about, or Hebrews 10 rather, talks about the positive influence of Christians. And it says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but come together." And then it says, we need to spur one another on toward what? Love and good deeds. And so a church body and having the right kind of friends is to also be a tool to encourage us what? To love and to do good deeds. And so pillar number six is the pillar of selecting friends wisely. Last one here, pillar number seven, is the pillar of selecting a godly spouse. The pillar of selecting a godly spouse. Now, I want to be clear in Scripture. Scripture tells us that marriage isn't for everyone. And the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Corinthians about the gift of singleness. And so for some people, God's plan for them, God's pathway for them is the gift of singleness. But for most people, statistics tell us, most people at some point in time in their life will marry. And I heard this phrase a few years ago about marriage. Somebody said, marriage is like flies on a window. The ones on the outside want in, and those on the inside want out. And maybe that does describe some particular cases in marriage. But we're talking about the pillar of selecting a godly spouse, because next to your decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's going to be the most important decision in your life. And so it better be done with prayer. It better be done with lots of counsel, lots of wisdom. Proverbs says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And when you get into a dating relationship and it starts to get serious, you need to be very, very careful and prayerful about that. Also, if you're a believer in Jesus, I think the scriptural principle is that, and this is for our safety, is that we're not to be unequally yoked. In other words, if you're a Christian, you need to look for a Christian spouse. And missionary dating sometimes works. I've talked to a few people that ended up leading their marriage partner or the person they were dating to Christ. But the safest sound principle is to prayerfully seek a believer and carefully select a godly spouse. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife or a husband finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And of course, the last chapter in the book of Proverbs is that famous chapter that talks about the virtuous woman, verse 10. And let me read it here rather than trying to quote it. Proverbs 31, verse 10, Solomon writes these words: a wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. And then the last 21 verses in Proverbs goes on to extol the character and the blessing of having a godly spouse. And so wisdom has built her house, Solomon writes in Proverbs 9:1, and she has set up seven pillars. And so I hope as we just kind of think about these seven pillars of wisdom, not only for our graduates but for all of us, that they will guide us through our life, and that we'll be wise. The pillar of salvation, I trust you know Jesus as your Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. The pillar of silence, I encourage us all to be good listeners, listening to God, listening to our spouse, listening to our kids. The pillar of safety, to realize that God's truth and God's principles are there to provide and to protect us, that it's the perfect law of liberty, the principle of submission, that we'll submit to God, we'll submit to the God-given authorities in our lives, the principle of sharing the gospel, of selecting good friends, and selecting a godly spouse. And as we do that, we will live a life that is blessed, and a life that is full of joy, and a life of wisdom that not only will benefit our life, but hopefully we can then pass that wisdom on to those around us, and pass wisdom on to our friends, our family, and our loved ones. So let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you for the privilege we have to meet this morning in the beautiful weather that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the privilege of worship. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that is found in your word. And we know that Colossians says that in Christ is found all wisdom. And in your word, there is wisdom. And so in this world and culture that can't quite figure up upside from downside, right from wrong, Lord, thank you that we have a guiding principle of truth, your word. And Lord, help us to live wisely. And we thank you for the wisdom that is found in your word. Lord, may we just not hear it today, but Lord, help us to take that wisdom and to put it into practice. And we will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.